I didn't really have. Sometimes we come on and I pretend like, oh, I had such a hard time with the open this week. Oh, that's crazy. Oh my God, it was.
Oh
No,
my
that's this
God.
one. Oh my
No?
God, that's crazy. Oh. No, this one was easy. This wasn't easy. Because it involves two things I'm really, 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 really happy about. And so when that happens,
Okay.
it's a good thing. Okay, ready? You ready? You ready? Are
Yes.
you ready? Are you
Yes.
ready?
No.
I'm not ready. You ready?
Right.
You ready? Here we go. Here we go. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Not ready. Ready?
Ready, ready, ready.
Set.
I am proud to introduce to you Forbes' newest billionaire, Tyler Perry. It just goes to show you can hear a lot of no's and then make your own yeses. That's an aha. Black Lives Matter graffiti has appeared on the walls of Graceland, Elvis's place, and fans are up in arms. Of course, if Elvis had realized that, Big Mama Thornton's life would have gone a lot differently. That's a ha-ha. Ha-ha,
Well done.
I'm having a really hard time really being upset about people spray painting Black Lives Matter on Graceland.
I know. I don't have a problem with it at all. And I'm kind of enjoying the fact that they are upset.
Oh my God, of course Elvis didn't know Black Lives Matter. He stole everything. He stole nothing but a hound dog from Big Mama Thornton. That's where it came from. Took it as his own, gave no credit. A famous philosopher once said, Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant shit to me.
There you go.
Straight up racist, the sucker was simple and plain. Mother boo him and John Wayne.
Woo! Come on with it now.
That's the those are the words of the of the of Charles Ridenour, better known as Chuck D. I mean, no, Carl
Carl.
Ridenour, better known as Chuck D from Public Enemy. Of course,
And
fight the
do you
power.
know what else?
What else?
I believe that he stole the peanut butter and banana sandwiches from black folks too.
And talk about it being his own. Yes,
Yeah.
yeah. I'm very happy that I don't hear much about Elvis anymore. Like that's somebody you don't. I don't hear that much. Now maybe it's because I'm not in the South. But
I think that's it.
you still getting a lot of Elvis?
Oh my God, yeah.
Really?
A hunk of
Crazy.
burning love, yes. Oh my God, yes.
I'm sorry about that.
And you should see the 100-year-old women that say that about him.
Therefore, that won't be happening for too much longer. And shout, super shout, super shout out, super shout out to our brother Tyler Perry, who is
Yes.
Forbes has decreed him the newest billionaire,
Yeah.
self-made billionaire.
How
And
great is
so,
that?
yeah. I first
I
met
just
Tyler
want
Perry
to touch
on,
him.
what's that?
Just want to touch him for luck.
I know I first met him maybe at the same place you did. Would you meet him before he was on the cruise, before he got on the cruise that time, on the time he was on a cruise?
Yes, we did meet him before the cruise. Tyler came on one of the Sky shows, and I want to say it was like Charlotte or some one of those cities, and did Madea on the Sky show.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. That was
And
and
you
he
met him. Did you sit down with him? Were you able to have a tete-a-tete with him?
not on the cruise, but subsequent to that, yes. Subsequent to that, we were able to become acquaintances and talk about a number of things. And he was always just the most positive person in the room, right? You can do it yourself. Self-made and wants everybody else to be that as well. What I love is that he figured out before Hollywood how to get back to work. Right? How are we going to
Oh
do this? How are we
my
going
God,
to do this?
yeah.
But he was motivated, and he—that's the great thing about having his own studios. In case you don't know, a lot of the unions are having trouble with how a lot of Hollywood is going back to work and making sure that their constituency is very safe. Tyler, almost as soon as COVID happened, started preparing for how to get back to work. Right, and you've probably read about this. He has his own studio. He flew people on private planes. Everyone got tested. They are doing kind of the NBA bubble. Everything they need is in that compound. And he worked with all the unions to make sure that they could all sign off on that. That is the true mark of a leader. So,
They do live in a bubble on his property at Tyler Perry Studios. They live in the housing there. They their food is delivered to them the same way. Everybody is tested every day. As you said, it was just amazing to see this all kind of come together. But he made it happen, and now you know Steve, it's got to be what, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks since he started doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been back for a while. They were the first production to go back up, and they're about to start going into edit for shows. So
yeah,
kudos but, you know, to Tyler.
For him, 4 weeks is like 3-4 seasons of shows. So that's how quickly he works. And so Tyler, I've had an audience with Tyler Perry.
Yeah, I love it. What was that like?
Before we ended the Tom Joyner show, I had an opportunity on the cruise to interview him for his book and getting to hire. And so after that, he said during that conversation, you know, people always say they want to talk to me, but nobody, you know, really makes that attempt. And so we did. And so Yolanda and I went to see him, and that was the first time I saw the studio. And we got a tour before other people did, you know, of the tour at the big opening. And it is just so inspirational just to see this and to see all these Black people who are working for him and that he has put to work in the Atlanta area on a former Confederate mm-hmm. Army base.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people are still rolling in their graves as a result of that. But then to be able to, and he was so kind with his time and gave me some great advice and things to work on and to do. And then he invited us to his opening, which was once in a lifetime. From the invitation on, it was, I know a lot of people have seen the unveiling of the invitation and stuff mm-hmm. on social media, but it was incredible. And then to see that night, actually that weekend yeah. of events, it was awe-inspiring. And once again, that was an opportunity for people to become inspired and to go out and to do their thing in much the same way or at whatever level they can to be like Tyler. So it was, and he really is an inspiring fellow. He really is.
So, and it means a lot because, you know, if he was able to spend that much money on that weekend and still keep $1 billion.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's saying
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
So awesome news, inspirational that way. Of course, extremely sad news when it comes to inspiration to a person who played it. He played at least three real life superheroes mm-hmm. and then one. I dare say fictional, because I'm not sure that Black Panther is fictional, because
right.
fictional character. I dare say it's hard to find another fictional character, especially among Black folks, that was more real than mm-hmm. Black Panther,
mm-hmm.
right? And the embodiment that Chadwick Boseman did of Black Panther resonates. It simply resonates. And of course, by now, you know, he passed away last week at the age of 43 from colon cancer, which unfortunately right. was not discovered until 2016, when it was already stage 3. And he had a fight. But to know that he was shooting 21 Bridges, Black Panther. You know,
I was thinking like, about that.
While this is going on.
Do you remember in 21 Bridges, he ran for his life through that entire movie. It was just like, you know, he was on a time crunch. And so, he just ran and ran and ran. And you think about all of those other things and the fight scenes in Black Panther and the foreign country in which they filmed the Five Bloods and things like mm-hmm. that. All of these things that the toll that he put on his body that he took and still kept working and like Tyler, just an incredible work ethic to produce the most magical performances and to be one of the most inspiring people. I think I can say in this business, and God bless him.
Indeed. He played characters. Look, Thurgood Marshall, mm-hmm. James Brown, mm-hmm. Jackie Robinson, characters who couldn't just be good.
Right.
They had to be great.
And right? he brought that greatness with him.
Exactly.
And then on the screen, it was just it's a funny story. We talked about his work ethic and how he got that from his dad. He would watch his father, you know, take on several shifts of a job during the day, or he would do the late shift, or, you know, do the first and second shift and then come home and sleep. And so he always thought about that when he was going out and had a particularly hard week. And there was one scene, he was in Chicago and he was filming 42, the Jackie Robinson story. And so he was, there was a scene in there, I guess, where he had to slide like time and time and time again. And after a while, that takes a toll on your body. Mm-hmm. I say that only as a fan. I have no knowledge of that. And so finally, his father was there at Wrigley Field as they were filming this, right? And so his dad goes over to the director and goes, "I don't think my boy can take any more of this," you know, something to that effect. And so he said, and so he got up and he's like, "Okay, let's do it again." And the director said something to the effect of, "We're good. Your daddy doesn't want you to do anymore." And so it was just, you know, just really just what a fine young man. And, you know, you think about all these people how their light is so bright and for such a short period of time. But while they're here, man, mm-hmm. you make an incredible impact. Yep. And he did that.
The testimonials from his cast members, and especially for me, it's Ryan Coogler, who's just, I want to be him so badly when I grow up. If you've ever mm-hmm. been around him, I just love his energy. I love that he is still of the environment that birthed him, but mm-hmm. is carrying that with pride forward. Mm-hmm. No one does it better than he does. And the way he wrote about Chadwick Boseman, you really truly believe that you knew him. You get to know him through Ryan in a beautiful way.
The other tribute that I absolutely adore, because I adore him, is Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
His big brother. It just wasn't enough time. And it was just really powerful. All of these people loved him. And then the other thing is how people did not know about this. No one. That's an incredible crew of people that you have around you. That you, first of all, you're able to keep your business to yourself in this day and age. That is a miracle unto itself. But to do all of the great things that he did while he was fighting this horrific disease and still keep going to work and all of that. And Clark Peters, who's a brilliant actor himself, was in Defy Bloods with him, and he didn't recognize, but he saw all the people that were around him and he called him precious, and he thought that he was being, you know, getting a lot of special attention and all of that. And then the tears that he did not know and having called him that, and that was the kind of feeling that a lot of people had, because, you know, he was doing what he needed to do so that he would not bring down the production.
Right.
And it just speaks to such qualities of that you want in yourself, not to mention your children, and glad that kids have that same feeling about him. So
I'm very glad. I'm very glad we'll get to see at least one more piece of work from him.
Yeah.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom will be coming out. Ryan Coogler also, he alluded to the fact that he was writing words for Chadwick Boseman that he'll never speak as Black Panther 2, because there will be a Black Panther 2. You better believe that. And so now the Marvel Universe is really trying to figure out what's going to happen. And the leading theory so far is that Shuri, played by Letitia Wright,
mm-hmm.
from my personal favorite show, Black Mirror. That's where I first saw her. Love her, Black Mirror. Letitia Wright, Shuri, will be the new Black Panther, because in one of the stories, along with the comic mm-hmm. books, I guess that was the case there.
Mm-hmm.
And it also could be Michael B. Jordan's character. But regardless, we will miss Chadwick Boseman in that role. And I know it was tough for some parents talking to their kids.
And hearing those stories.
Also, a small shout out to as a DC native and just a fan of Black men everywhere. John Thompson Jr.
Big John Thompson,
passed away as well.
Coach at Georgetown Hoyas,
Yeah, but more than just a coach, he helped black men. He was, I've said this about a couple of people before, you just never throw a black man away. And it's most telling around Allen Iverson. Everybody wanted to throw Allen Iverson away after he had the challenges in the bowling alley in Virginia, right? He's a young black man figuring his way through life, involved in a horrible situation. And John Thompson took that chance on Allen Iverson. And look, if you haven't seen the Allen Iverson documentary to understand how a black man can grow and carry himself into a league that doesn't want people like himself, into a league that when Allen Iverson had all the tattoos, they would airbrush his tattoos off.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm going a number of different places, but the fact is
that
John
Thompson,
Thompson took the chance on Allen Iverson, and scores of other black children, right? There's what's my name? Fred Brown, who threw the ball away and cost them the game. And what you take away from that is how John Thompson threw his arms around the person who cost him the championship. Literally, it's hard to point to one person at any point in time, but when someone throws the ball away, cost Georgetown the championship. And John Thompson's first instinct was to go over and throw his arms around him.
Around that kid. Yeah. Yeah, he was quite a man, and I dare say that we lost two guys this week, the likes of which the world will never see again. But we were so lucky to have been here to watch them walk this earth, and it's really special.
I hope we're making more guys like that. I hope so.
I'm talking to one right now.
Who?
I'm talking to one of the
Who are you talking
guys.
To while you're talking to me, Sybil? Like, Sybil, you're supposed to pay attention. Like, who else are you talking to while you're talking to me? This is like, this is what we do. Come on.
It's you, Stephen. It's you. So I mean, but I really think that, you know, this is an opportunity for us to talk about something that I want us to talk about later, but just to kind of open up the discussion at another time and to give people their flowers while they're here. And that's not to say that Chadwick and Bozeman and Coach Thompson did not get their flowers. Obviously, they did. But just in our own lives, to talk to people and to let them know how much they mean to us. This has been an opportunity during coronavirus to do that as well. Yes, Yolanda, I so appreciate you. You are the most wonderful, wonderful human being. That your feet should never touch the ground. But you know,
you read what she wrote really well, Sybil. That was great.
I did. Really, and even with her handwriting, I was able to read that. So, but you know, this is a time, especially during this virus and being, you know, separated from people. It's just a really good time to reach out and to touch base with people that you don't normally, or to express your feelings and your appreciation for them. So I appreciate you, Stephen Hill.
I appreciate you too, Sybil. We lost something else this week. Niecy Nash's heterosexuality.
Steve, was this not the best kept secret ever?
Well, especially since she'd married two dudes beforehand. I've heard of beards, but God, that was the James Harden of beards. Jeez. Come on. Now, I want to be clear. Before the hate mail starts coming in, I said that whole, you know, people should be happy in whatever way they do. And if she was happy marrying those two dudes and then decided she wanted to marry a woman, I am fully supportive. This life, talk about, give yourself your own flowers. And your own flowers, you got to do what makes you happy. Right. And if Jessica Betts, who, by the way, I have had a chance to hang out a little bit because she was a Music Matters artist when she was on BET a few years back. And really cool people, really talented.
Were you with her?
No. No.
Because you don't want to think that you got there before Niecy did. And she said, nah, I'd rather go with the girl.
You know what? It wouldn't be the first time.
You are so stupid.
shout out to Andrea. Anyhow. No, she married.
You've worked with Jessica, right?
Yes. She was part of the BET Music Matters program. She's been on 106 Park a few times and set a couple of live performances. Really cool people. Niecy Nash is really cool people. Mm-hmm. And what did the grandmother say? Whatever floats your boat.
Mm-hmm. Whatever blows your skirt up. Whatever blows your skirt up.
Mm-hmm. Or,
I had a different kind of grandmother. Okay.
Mm-hmm. and evidently they were blowing each other's skirt up. Did I mean to say that? Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, I think you did. Here's the other thing. You got to have a really great crew of people to hold a secret like that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out to my friend, Sherry Shepherd, who was a part of that secret crew and knew and helped them with the plans for this wedding and all of that. And not even till it came out. it was so funny because we're in a text chain and somebody texts the picture of Niecy that had been put in, I think it was like People Magazine or something, and asked Sherry, was this your first gay wedding? So you see Niecy, and I thought she was, I really did not know. And so, I was like, Sherry, and she said, you know, that was her best friend. And so, you know, she said, you just, cause she was so happy and she had asked this of us. And so we were, you know, there to maintain her privacy. And, that's the kind of crew you want, you know, mm-hmm. to be there and to share in your happiness. Cause when I tell you, if you have not seen how happy Niecy Nash looks, she just looks ecstatic.
Yeah, she looked fine. She looked fine too, but well, off the market, I guess. So
yeah, I think she has been for a while.
What are you gonna do?
But congratulations to both of them. Long may they love. I'm very happy.
That's good. You know what would make me very happy, Sybil?
What's that, Steve?
If now follow me with this.
Okay.
If there were a banister going downstairs, wooden. Mm-hmm. But every 3 inches, there was 4 or 5 razor blades buried into the banister. But the sharp side is up, so it's still above the banister. Ooh. And then I could make Daniel Cameron slide down that banister.
Oh, my God.
That would make me happy. That would make me happy. I just want to throw keys at his teeth. Is that wrong?
What was wrong was the first visual you painted for us.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh my God. So Daniel Cameron is the African American Attorney General of the
state. Let's not be too hasty, Sybil.
Okay.
Let's not be too hasty. He is.
You
all right. All right. No, okay. No, he's African American. Okay. I don't want to be that guy who does that thing.
So you want to say he's black?
I don't know. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm completely wrong in this case. I'm Sergeant Waters. I am Adolf Caesar from Soldier Story. I admit it.
So tell us how much you don't like him, because he's been around a lot lately. He is still investigating the Breonna Taylor murder by Louisville police back in March. They have not made any charges yet. We've had that discussion on the show. Last week, the case eventually went to Daniel Cameron, and he is supposed to determine whether charges will be brought against this one policeman in particular who was fired. People came to his house and they had a protest in front of his house. I was one of them who objected to the fact that he was celebrating his engagement while we were waiting for something to come down. He had an engagement party, married this girl, and is still nothing regarding this. Then last week, he was a keynote speaker at the Republican National Convention. He is a protege of Mitch McConnell, which right there, that makes me angrier than anything else. But then he brought the name of Breonna Taylor's family to the conversation in his speech, mm-hmm. which I thought, you should really not even be there as the token that you are presented at this speech. But you brought this woman's family's name out, and you should really be at home. You should be in your office working on this case. But that wasn't it. That wasn't the last time.
But then, wait, there's more.
There is more. Sunday morning, he appeared on one of the Sunday morning news shows, and that was Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan. And that is what has raised your ire to such a level that you want razor blades and other life-altering devices.
The great thing, here's the thing, because I believe in Daniel Cameron. I believe in Daniel Cameron so much that I know he's going to piss me off even more than he has already. This is not the pinnacle. It's just on the way to pinnacle. So on this Face the Nation, I believe the question was the recent attention to discrimination is among Republicans. Say it's 81% of Republicans said it was too much. 6% said not enough. Where of course, 12% of Democrats says it's too much. And the question is, does he agree? Does this black man agree that recent attention to discrimination is too much, like the Republicans? Here was his response.
Do you believe that discrimination is talked too much about in our country?
Well, look, again, I will point back to the remarks that I made on Tuesday evening, where I talked about the Republican Party wanting justice, peace, and equality. And we certainly recognize anybody who has an agenda that is consistent with those values. But again, like your viewers, we can certainly tell the difference between those that want those things in earnest and those who are trying to hijack a moment. So I think that poll probably indicates those within our party who recognize the legitimacy of those who...
If you agree with those Republicans who say it's talked about too much.
I think that we need to make sure that we have frank conversations about race and color.
Answer the question!
Within this country. Again, the Republican Party has been founded on the idea of making sure that those who are marginalized and vulnerable in this country have a fair shake.
As Attorney General...
All right, that's enough.
That's so, what she said, too.
The fact that he's the master obfuscator is number one. Number two, when he talks about seizing the moment, Breonna Taylor's still alive. No one gives a F about your ass, right? You don't get invited to the RNC. You don't get invited to Face the Nation, right? What are you doing on Face the Nation?
You don't get invited to the Kentucky Derby. You get nothing.
So you're on Face the Nation. Now, if you had something to say new about the investigation into the murder of Breonna Taylor, then Playa, me and you can talk, but you're simply on Face the Nation as the with Mitch McConnell's hand so firmly up your anus, handling your spine, playing with your shoulders, that you don't understand that you're just being used. You got nothing to say on Face the Nation. When they ask about Breonna Taylor, he's like, nope, well, the investigation is going on. I can't talk about an ongoing investigation. Then sit your ass down and go back to your damn office.
And go to work. I'm with
you. We're gonna have a new. This may be if he keeps trying to steal the spotlight, we may have a weekly feature on why Daniel Cameron should slide down a banister of razor blades.
Why should David Cameron slide down razor blades?
And they'll be here's the reason. Here's the reason. This week. I want to treat Daniel Cameron like Monica treated Brandy back in the
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right.
I just want to drop kick him. Allegedly. I'm sorry. Allegedly. I got to say that for, allegedly. Hey, did you see somebody?
Yeah, because they're listening.
What? So what?
They're listening. They're listening.
Yeah.
You can't say allegedly.
The Versus was on the most watched Versus of all time. Versus, of course, is a black owned situation put together by Timbaland and Swizz Beatz.
Mm-hmm.
to two fantastic producers, but beyond just producing, they are putting on, they are putting together this Versus, where they take people, different producers that are going to each other. It was Teddy Riley versus Babyface. We've seen Beanie Man versus Bounty Killer, Alicia Keys versus John Legend, and this past
Erykah Badu and Jill Scott.
But Brandy versus Monica broke the bank.
Yeah.
1.2 million viewers on Instagram. 1.8 million total plus on Apple Music.
Wow.
Including that in other platforms, 4.2 million overall. By far the most watched Versus of all time. And when you count all the likes and tweets and everything else, there were more tweets about Brandy versus Monica than there were about the MTV VMAs. And the total of 5 billion impressions.
Wow.
So shout to Brandy and Monica for coming together, and shout to Brandy, especially to who showed no shade at all during that evening.
That's what I say. But
okay. So I got to admit, I was waiting right. for a cry right. from the producer's table as our person extraordinaire, the just recently birthdayed Chica, who works with us on the show behind the scenes, that she only comes on when she we have her say the translate
the word
WAP, right?
Yeah. Chica?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here.
Did you hear Greg out that here? Yeah. Yo. did Eartha Kitt come back to life as Catwoman right quick?
Yes, she did.
I'm here, yes. So we bring Chica on because she is of the mind that I let her tell you what did you think of Versus, who did you think won, and whose team are you on firmly?
So I think Monica won because I'm on Monica's team.
I appreciate the candor. The candor is awesome. How did you think the Versus battle went? What did you think?
I think it went well, sort of, kind of. What I didn't like was all of the shade Brandy had ready to throw at Monica.
What shade are you talking about, Chica? What shade? For example.
What you talking about, Chica?
Sam Cooke, do you know this one? If you know this one, go ahead and sing along with me. And Brandy did not give Monica an inch to jump in if she wanted to jump in.
Okay, to set it up in between rounds, Brandy started singing Sam Cooke's "The Change Is Gonna Come," and it was not one of her records. She just did it spontaneously, and according to Chica,
the song and just wanted to sing it.
You see Steven's face? Everyone else can't see Steven's face, but we see.
my face is because, okay, Chica may have a point on that one, but yeah. But give me another one. When's another chance, Chica? When was another shade?
Another shady moment when Monica was talking about kicking down doors. Brandy decided to insert herself into that situation. And Monica was trying to, you know, water over the bridge. But nope, Brandy had to throw a little shade there and talk about Monica was kicking down one of her doors. And then she had to backtrack and clarify that Monica didn't kick down her door. Mm-mm, Monica didn't kick down her door.
Okay, a couple things about that, Chica. First, Chica. It was the introduction of So Gone. Monica was saying, like, I used to kick down doors and slap them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that Brandy inserted herself in that? And she took it as she used to do that to everybody. Brandy, because Monica said, oh, I was talking about men. And Brandy thought she was talking about her because she kicked down a door and slapped her?
That's correct.
Hmm. Did they have a shade or just or PTSD?
It could have been a little bit of both. That's fine. I'll give that.
As long as it was shade in there.
Well,
okay.
My problem with this, of course, once again, is that Chica's right. But give me another chance. Give me another example. Okay, you've only given three. I'm going to need at least one more.
Okay.
Two more. Yeah, you give me two. What's another one? Go ahead.
All right. So Monica, when her songs would cut, she would still sing a cappella, but here comes Brandy literally trying to oversing Monica on Monica's song. And then she's like, Monica, come on, let's hear you. But every time Monica would start, here come Brandy with the ad lib.
Okay, here's the problem with that. Here's the problem. I'm gonna be honest with you. Here's the problem. You are only batting 1,000, right? So so I think you're gonna have. Really? what I'm hearing you say is that you would say that Brandy was looking for places to throw shade.
And found them, apparently.
Okay. All right. Well, everybody. Okay, just one more, and then we'll quit. I promise. One more shade moment, and then that'll be it.
Okay. Final moment.
I'm sorry.
You know, see, I think you'll be better at telling this than I can tell it. Go ahead.
No, you guys are great together. Go ahead. No, please.
Which moment?
So the boy is mine. Brandy right. had this whole monologue about how it was her song. And Monica was the missing little spice. She was the missing little ingredient. And she knew that in order for this song to be great, they had to add Monica onto this song. And that's how Brandy intro'd The Boy Is Mine. I don't think that's an accurate description, but okay.
Okay, let's talk to somebody who was there.
You know what? Stephen is an expert. Go ahead, Stephen Hill.
So here's the thing. So Brandy was the song. Okay. So this is kind of, so sometimes shade is based in truth, but it's still shade, mm-hmm. which is why I'm really disappointed, Chica, because you're still betting 1,000. Listen. So. Because it really was, it was Brandy's. Brandy worked with Rodney Jerkins. It was their song, and they did, and Monica. But the way that Brandy presented it on the show, it could have been perceived as reminding people of whose it was, as opposed to having that, which was the ultimate moment of the show, be the biggest kumbaya moment, where it's like we came mm-hmm. together, right? So the truth, she told the truth, but in the truth, in my estimation, kind of lost the kumbaya moment.
So let right? me ask you, let me ask you, Chica, if this had been your show and you could have directed it or written the script for it, especially for this, because this was the most important thing, I think, for the boy's mind. How would you have liked to have heard Brandy introduce it?
I think she could have used the we a little bit more.
Oh, nice. That's okay, first of all, we're gonna get Chica off here because she's gonna take my role in this job. Y'all gonna make this. I see her sibling.
No, coming.
I hear it. So we got to cut her off soon. I'll be honest with you. I got no problem throwing shade. I throw shade in a mic off. I'll throw a mic off button in a heartbeat.
Just like now. Chica, you there? She's gone.
Wait, did she really leave?
She gone.
Wait, did she leave?
Well, because you turned the mic off.
This show is mine. Chica, you have to leave. The show belongs to Steve. You've got to go away. This show is ours. There you go.
No, you said it. That's the way you said it.
Yo, Chica. Okay. Is she really off the mic now, right? She's off the mic.
Yeah, she.
That was really that. She. So she did kind of nail some moments. Look, it was. Here's what I think. If Brandy was much more nervous going into this than Monica was, because Monica had made peace with this in herself a while ago, and she'd been on the reel talking about it. She's been on a number of TV shows talking about it, and even through the years, as there were kind of snips thrown, Monica would always say, like, she's one of the more talented people I've ever known. Right. She is fantastic. I'm glad. And what they talked about there is, like, we've never gotten a Grammy ourselves outside of The Boy Is Mine. The Boy Is Mine won a Grammy, and Monica nor Brandy has won a Grammy since. So I concur with the person who's going to take my place, Chica, who when she said, "Yeah, it could have been more we. It could have been more we
and less." So this is really interesting because you did an interview with Brandy, did you on your Sirius XM show, right?
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago now, right?
Yes.
And so did you have a discussion about the versus coming up?
It was, the versus had been solidified. I found out versus were solidified literally a day after we did the interview. We did the interview about a week before it came on. And okay. So we did not get to talk about it there.
I thought maybe it had been discussed because I didn't remember it in the interview, which I thought was so good. You know what? Your stuff is so good. Okay. Interviews.
Wow. Need to clear that up. You thought you had to clear that one up, Sybil? I was feeling good about myself for just like, I don't know, 1.3 seconds in it.
That Stephen Hill stuff is so good. Right, Tika? It was so, because I like Brandy and I am team Brandy. And I like her music, but I thought what you brought out of her was just took my admiration for her to a whole nother level.
I appreciate that.
For people who are listening and they'd like to hear your show, can you give them a little idea of where, when and where?
Heart to Heart with Stephen Hill is on Sirius XM channel 48, Heart and Soul, every Saturday night at 11 p.m. East Coast time, 8 p.m. where my nephews live. And the rest of y'all figure it out. But it's so much fun. This week is Toni Braxton. Toni Braxton. Oh. I get a conversation with Toni Braxton.
Nice.
And the cool thing is, I really wanted to do this as I started the show. People who I really love. Like I'm team Brandy and team Monica. Mm-hmm. I've known Brandy for a longer period of time. Like mm-hmm. As we said in the show, I've known her literally over half her life.
Right.
Over half life. And that's why I know that part of her approach in verses was she was a little nervous, mm-hmm. nervous about how that was going to come in because there was probably more pressure on Brandy than there was on Monica.
Yeah.
Because people who are staunchly team Monica, probably have a little bit more elasticity in their necks, you know, have a little bit more. That would
be true on this show.
That's the truth, right, Chica? Oh, I'm sorry, she doesn't have a microphone anymore. We took it up, we packed it away. But
can I also give a shout out to Ray J? I love the way he was there to support his sister.
Yes.
That dude, he is my dude. I don't know him, but I just love Ray J's support of Brandy at the Versus battle. It was just, don't call it a battle, I guess, but everybody was a winner on that show.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Yes. And that family is tight. Ray J and Brandy have been that tight since the very, very beginning. You can find mm-hmm. Ray J before he had his own career in Brandy videos. And I love when I look at brother and sister teams and mm-hmm. who really support each other, like through thick and thin, Brandy and Ray J are really that. And it comes from Willie and Sonia Norwood, their parents, who are two solid folks who did everything they could to make sure their kids did well in Hollywood. And that is not an easy thing to do. To be underage in Hollywood is not easy to do. Hey, can I circle back around? Oh, wait, can I circle back around and bring back something we haven't had for a while? Just for a moment. Let me turn that off.
Is it personal?
No, it's not personal, but it's a thing that I've missed.
Okay.
I've missed, and I think we.
You missed her.
I've missed what? No, okay. No, that's not. Why do you get me caught up like that? No, it is this. Yes, it's back.
This week in Carol.
That's the her I was referring to.
That is Karen. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Karen comes back, and Karen comes back courtesy of Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live had Black Jeopardy when Chadwick Boseman was on and he came on Black Jeopardy as the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, and again, ahead of his time, this is over 2 years ago when he was on there. And the category is white people for 400. And this is how it goes.
Okay, let's try it. Your friend Karen brings her potato salad to your cookout. Uh-oh, T'Challa.
I think I'm getting the hang of this. Before I answer, a few questions. This woman, Karen, she is Caucasian, eh?
Yes.
And she has her own recipe for potato salad, eh?
Yeah.
I understand. It is noble that she would volunteer to cook for everyone. And although I have never had potato salad,
of course,
I sense that this white woman does not season her food.
That's right.
And if she does, it is only with a tiny bit of salt.
That's exactly right.
And no paprika.
No paprika, no.
And she will probably add something unnecessary like raisins.
I know, right?
Something tells me that I should say.
Say it!
Oh, hell no, nah, Karen. Keep your brand ass potato salad to yourself.
Yeah! You got it,
that should have been double jeopardy. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh,
yeah.
Such joy to my heart. Oh.
Indeed. Shout once again to Chadwick Boseman and all that knew him. And let's keep his spirit with us. Keep his spirit of consistency, of uplifting, and bringing your best to work so others can bring their best as well. As much
Amen.
As
Amen. Well said, Mr. Hill. Glad Chica didn't cut your mic off at that part.
I just had to make sure I said something real good or else Chica could be on the show next week.
It's the Chica and Sybil show. What the hell? What?
Love you, Sybil. Have a great week.
I love you more.
Hit subscribe on the podcast. And if you just happened upon this, go to Spotify, type in Sybil Wilkes' name. That's how you find it. Right? That's how you find it?
And Stephen Hill is a porn star. But go to that one, too, afterwards.
It's a different kind of fun, though.
Oh, okay.
Have a great week, my friends.
Bye, darlings.
Ha ha! Ha ha! Sybil and Steve.